Well, I want you to see that today's sermon is entitled, Give Him No Silence. And it's the fourth part in a series entitled, Unleashing God's Power for Me and for My Church. That's what we're doing. You also see that next week, the final part of this series, part five, the final part is Close and Decided. And I will finish off this Unleashing God's Power for Me and My Church next week. Now, here's the questions we're going to answer today. Number one, we're going to answer, what is a watchman? What is a watchperson? Number two, who appointed the watchman? Number three, what are the watchmen to do? Number four, what does this have to do with us? And number five, what are we to do about it? Now, children, here's your question. Children, the question for you, I want you to listen to the sermon. I'll answer it during the sermon. What funny word did we find in Isaiah, and what does it mean? And it has to do with give him no silence. Oh, Father in heaven, we give this time to you, and I give myself to you, so that you may speak loud and clear, and you may come and live inside, and you would build a holy fire and kindle the flame for everyone who has come here, Lord, no matter what it is they're carrying, so that when we leave this place, we will know we were with you and that there is hope no matter what. And thank you for hearing this prayer because it's prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you see what this little guy's doing? What's he doing? What is he doing? He's sucking his thumb at Sabbath school. By the way, if you want to know what that little thing in his fingers, that's a Band-Aid. You know how you rip those things off the Band-Aid and how smooth they are? This is our youngest son, Sammy. He touches mom's lobe of the ear and suck his thumb. Sam liked to suck his thumb. By the way, he's 18 now and he doesn't suck his thumb anymore. This is Sam at the corner of our kitchen windows that we had in that beautiful house in Michigan. Deer in the yard, a pond in the back. But there was a problem with Sam. At that very house and at that very age. For you see, every morning I get up before light and I go to a spot in the house and I kneel down and pray. And then when I'm done, I open my Bible and I read it. And after that, I read my spirit of prophecy. And one morning in the dark, I was praying very early and all of a sudden I hear the pitter of little feet coming down the stairs into the basement where I hide in that very house. And it was Sam. And in the dark, Sam finds me. And I'm kneeling just like this. Actually, my knee hurts, folks. I lean back when I get tired, and so I make a lap, so to speak. And before I know it, Sam sits down in my lap, puts his head against my chest, puts his thumb in his mouth, and goes... And I'm sitting there praying, and I'm thinking, how dare this kid interrupt my prayer to God? And so I was, you know, breathing heavily, and I don't know why, I just had a control, I guess, where I didn't say anything. I just kept sort of praying, and he just kept sucking and leaning against my chest, And then it was time to read, and I said, Sam, I've turned the light on. I got to read now. You go back to bed. And he'd go back to bed. I thought, what was that all about? Anyway, the next morning, guess what? Same thing, folks. I did the same thing. The next morning, the same thing happened the third time. And then that night, I put him to bed, and I said, now, Sam, listen to me. I want you to stay in your bed. Daddy's spending time with God in the morning. I don't want you interrupting me. I don't know what he even said. It's just, I don't know. But anyway, the next morning, I got up and I went to the closet. And I shut the door and I'm in there praying. And I can hear Sam's little feet, you know. In Michigan, you wear footies, and, you know, it's cold. And I can hear those little footies. He's looking all over in the dark. Never put the light on. Sits down on my lap, sucks his thumb. Next morning, I tried another location. Found me right away. And finally, the next morning, folks, I'm telling you, I was angry. And I was just ready to lose it when all of a sudden, God said to me, Peter, don't you get up every morning, sit in my lap, put your head against my chest, and suck your thumb? And I went, yeah. And he said, you know what? Your son is being drawn to you at a very special time. Don't say a word. That's just how God is with us, folks. And the Bible clearly says in the Hebrew, in Isaiah, give him no silence. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Isaiah 62. I want to share two texts with you. We will answer those four questions because we want to unleash the power of God for ourselves and our church. Amen? Isaiah 62, and we're going to look at verse 6 and 7. And I wish we had the time to look at 1 through 7, but we don't. But let's glean what we can from these two important verses. On your walls, O Jerusalem. Now I'm reading from the New American Standard. But folks, if you have a different version, I guarantee you it says the same thing. The word just may be in a little different order. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day, all night, they are never to keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves, and give Him no rest until He establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Now the first question we want to ask is, what is a watchman? See, notice that verse 6, on your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. By the way, I better do something with you. I don't want to take anything for granted here. You do understand that now in the New Testament time, when you're reading a text about Jerusalem, who does it apply to? Us, the church. On your walls, O Paradise Church, I have placed watchmen. So we better know what a watchman is, right? A watchman. Here's the Hebrew word. It's called shomar. It means to hedge about as with thorns. Watchman. To hedge about as with thorns. Guard, generally, to protect, attend to, keeper, keep self, preserve, save. And it might surprise you that the first place it's used in the Bible is Genesis 2:15, where God said, Adam and Eve, I want you to shamar the Garden of Eden. I want you to tend to it. I want you to preserve it. I want you to protect it. I want you to hedge it about as with thorns so the enemy cannot get through the thorns and to it. By the way, the second time it's used in the Bible is chapter 3, Verse 24, and you know what he said to the two angels that had the bright sword? I want you to shamar the garden of the entrance to the Garden of Eden and protect the way to the tree of life. And the third time that text, that word in the Hebrew is used, is in chapter 4:9. And do you remember somebody God said to, "Where is your brother?" Who was that person? And what did Cain say? Am I my brother's shamar? That's what he said. Am I my brother's shamar? The watchman on the walls of the paradise church are to guard it, to protect it, to hedge it about with thorns. They're to attend to it. They're to be keepers of it. They are to preserve it. May I say the church should come first in our considerations over our house, our cars, our children. This is God's house. It's not representing Peter Neary or any of you. It's representing the eternal God of heaven. And by the way, back in the Old Testament time, that was particularly referring to the Levites. They were set out morning, noon, and night, and they would call out to one another, "All is well." And by the way, history tells that if they, one of the guards would walk around to see if at night the Levites were being faithful. If they weren't, they would light their robe on fire, so that when morning light came and that particular Levite was going home, it would be very obvious what he had done during the night. Fell asleep, and there his robe is half burned. On your walls, O Jerusalem, on your walls, O paradise, I have placed watchmen. By the way, who placed those watchmen? God. That's what it said, didn't it? Didn't say we picked them, we choose them. It said God chose the watchman. Now, one more thing. What are the watchmen to do? Now, you'll like this. Here's the King James. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent, and give him no rest. Now, what are the watchmen to do? What does it say? Never hold your peace. No. What does it say? Never hold your peace day or night. You can read. Keep not silent. Give him no rest. That's what it says in the King James Version of the Bible. That watchmen who are appointed by God on the walls of the Paradise Church are to never hold their peace, whether it's day or night. They are never to keep silent, and they are to never give him, capital H, any rest. That's pretty specific. Are you starting to get where I'm going here? And what we should be like? What does this have to do with us? Seriously, out of the Old Testament? We're not watchmen, are we? I want you to look at 1 Peter 2:9. We'll just look at a couple texts here. To me, this is so inspiring. This is one we should know by heart. The minute I said 1 Peter 2:9, and by the way, I hope you have your Bibles. It means so much more when you open with me, even if it's a different version. You block me out and read it yourself in your mind. That fortifies what's being said and what you're seeing. You're also hearing yourself. But you are a chosen race. You are the Levites. What does it say? The royal priesthood. You're the Levites. It's no longer a tribe now. It's no longer Pastor Neary and Pastor Schaefer. It's all of us. Yes, Pastor Schaefer and I are in a different situation as pastors of the church, but we are all part of the royal priesthood. Now, this is why I like the New American Standard. It says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people. In the King James says peculiar. And in today's day and age, no one wants to be peculiar. Okay? So that doesn't mean we're changing the word. But we look it up in the Greek and we discover peculiar means people of God's own possession. That's what it means. They're a people for God, not themselves. That's how they're peculiar. Not by looking funny, acting funny, talking funny, directing funny, dressing funny. But by being God's people, by recognizing His authority. What does this watchman thing over in Isaiah have to do with us? We are the watchmen today. In fact, let's quickly move through Revelation. We are the people of the book of Revelation. This is the book that changes spiritual lives. And notice what it says in quick, rapid succession. Revelation 1:6. And He has made us to be a kingdom, priest to His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. 5:10. And Thou hast made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God. Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power. But they are to be what? Priests of God. You see? What a privilege, folks. Sometimes I think we overlook this. We are literally chosen by God to be different, to be peculiar, to be people of His own possession. We are Levites. We're the watchmen. And we're told that we are not to keep silent day or night. We are not to take any rest. And we're not to give Him any rest until He establishes His kingdom forever. Amen. We have a work to do. What does this have to do with us, folks? It has everything to do with us. Well, how do we apply it then in our life? What are we to do about this? Let's have some fun. Go back to Isaiah 62. And I want you to look closely at verse 6. Remember, we at prayer meeting are learning how to focus on a particular text and then allow the Spirit of God to extract out of it a thought that He has personally designed for every individual person. Come to prayer meeting. We're having a credible spiritual feast. Look at verse 6. I believe those of you who have King James says, those that make mention of the Lord. Those that make mention of the Lord. Do you have a marginal reading? Does somebody have a marginal reading where you look in the column and it tells you a different group of words for that phrase in chapter verse 6? Anybody? Verse 6, for the phrase, on your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen all day and all night, they're never to keep silent, those who make mention of the Lord. That phrase, do you have a cross-reference? I'm not a cross-reference. Do you have a marginal alternative reading? I do. You know what it says? Oh, you got one? What does it say? Loud and clear, because I have a hard time hearing. Yes! For ye that are the Lord's rememberancers. Have you ever heard of a word like that, children? That's a funny word out of the book of Isaiah. My margin in my New American Standard, and I have the very same Bible at home in King James, which I prepare from, both in the margin says that that phrase really means ye who are the Lord's rememberancers. Take a look at this. This is what the Hebrew really means. You who make mention of the Lord, that's the King James, New King James. You who call on Yahweh, New International Version and World English Bible. Ye that put Jehovah in remembrance is Darby's translation, Revised Standard Version. You who remind the Lord is the New American Standard. And O ye remembrances, rememberancers of Jehovah is the Young's literal translation. In the Hebrew, the word literally means ye that mention the Lord, Hebrew. It means ye that are the Lord's rememberancers. God's servants who by their prayers put God into remembrance about His. Yes! We are required to remind God as if God could, but He can't. Right? As if God could, which He cannot, forget His promises. In fact, what's really interesting is in both verse 6 and verse 7, verse 7 that says, give Him no rest in my Bible, give Him no rest in the King James. I believe it's worded a little differently in a couple of different other versions, but that word not only means rest, but it means silence. Do not give God silence. You're on the walls. Day and night. You are to give God no silence. It is our job to hold up before the Lord the promises until He delivers. And that's how you and I, by the way, will overcome the sin that plagues all of us. That's how you and I will become more accepting and loving for whoever walks in here, however they look, however they act. We have to be patient until the Spirit of God clues them in His timetable, the way He clued us in our timetable. By the way, let me tell you, my very first Seventh-day Adventist church service, it was out of doors. God could have not captured me any better because I am an out-of-doors person. And Maude, I don't mean it that way, Maude. She told me a very appropriate joke. I love the woods. I love lakes. I love fishing. I let the fish go, but I torture them before I let them go. Of course, I catch them. And here this guy says, hey, I want you to come to church with me. I'm studying with these people. Oh, yeah? Yeah, the church is out at such and such preserve in northern Wisconsin. It's by the lakeside. It's really pretty. Really? I've never gone to church outside. I mean, I was a Roman Catholic. And so I went to church. We had Sabbath school first. We're sitting on folding chairs. We're underneath pine trees. And I kept thinking of that lake back there, wondering what the fish were like. Seriously. Hey, folks, I wasn't spiritual. I just knew I needed something, okay? And when Sabbath school was over, guess what I did? No, I set you up wrong. I apologize. You think I went fishing. No. There was something more important I had to do before church started. I had to have a cigarette. And so because of my Roman Catholic upbringing, I knew better than to light up right there in that little chapel, even though it was outside. So I went to the parking lot, which was right next to where we were sitting, and I lit up a cigarette. Now, what would have happened to me, you guys, if somebody had walked up and said, you're not supposed to be smoking? Come on. What would have happened to me, possibly? I wouldn't be here right now. No one said a word to me. And believe me, my hands were yellow with stain, and I smelled of smoke. But I was looking for something. And no one said a word. And I went back in there, and I went to the church service, and I sat there, and the minute that got over, you know what I did? I went back to the parking lot. Had to have another cigarette. It had been almost an hour. And brothers and sisters, to this very day, I praise God that no one said a word to me, because I don't know what I may have done had they have said something. I hadn't arrived yet, but here I am now. We are the watchmen on the walls of Zion. There are people in this city that need what we have. And the first step is we've got to be able to accept them, because we're secure in our relationship with Jesus. We are claiming the promises constantly with Him and for Him and to Him. And then we can share those promises with the people He brings us in contact with, who are being tortured by Satan. And we can be used by God to release them. Children, what funny word. Constantly remind God of His promises. Give Him no silence. Children, what funny word do we find in Isaiah? Did you get it? Huh. Oh, there it is. Remembrancers. And it means remind God of His promises. That's what we are supposed to do. Wake up, my brothers and sisters. There's a great work to be done. Unceasing activity is called for. Darkness has covered the earth, and gross darkness the people. Many are far from Christ, wandering in the wilderness of sin. They are strangers from the covenant of promise. God calls upon His people to wake up, to shake off their careless indifference, to take up the work waiting for them in their families. Then let them reach beyond their families to others who need help. By the way, do you see the order there? Families first. We've got to get our act together within our families, and all of us are in need of that. The quote continues, "Let them commune with Him, that they may be imbued by His Spirit. Then let them go forth to bestow on those in need the grace they have received from Him. I have set watchmen on the wall, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep no silence. Keep not silence, and give Him no rest till He establishes, until He makes paradise a place of praise on this earth." In closing, I want you to look at this picture. Now, do you see what's at the bottom? Can you see that right there? That's a husband and a wife and a boy and a girl kneeling in prayer. And look where their prayer goes. Listen very carefully from Christ Object Lessons. This brings tears to my eyes. His offering is complete. Jesus. And as our intercessor, He now executes His self-appointed work. Did you know that Jesus actually has a self-appointed work? I mean, that blew my mind when I read that. Jesus has a self-appointed work. I mean, we all thought we knew what that work was. In the heavenly sanctuary, while we were praying, folks, holding before God the censer containing His spotless merits and the what? Prayers, confessions, thanksgiving of His people. Perfumed with His fragrance of His righteousness. These, the prayers, the confessions, and the thanksgiving of His people ascend to God as a sweet savor. Did anybody else get this? Ooh. Folks, He wants to spend time with us. Hey, has anybody received a call from President George Bush recently inviting you out to lunch? Anybody here even seen the mayor of Las Vegas? Folks, the God of heaven wants to spend time with us. And if anything unleashes His power, it's us understanding that we're loved in spite of our faults and frailties and weaknesses, and that when we come to Him in prayer, His mighty arm moves in our behalf. Father in heaven, unleash Your power in each of our lives as we come to You more faithfully in prayer, not only alone, but as family units, every morning, every night. And then when we come together at church or in homes, individual homes, that we would pray together so that Your promises become more fixed in our mind and greater miracles will transpire than ever happened before. Father, we want Las Vegas. And we want to be used by You to do something we never thought we could even attempt, much less accomplish. Would You encourage each person here? And Lord, while they're singing the closing hymn, standing on the promises of God, I want You to move them to make a silent decision for You. That, Lord, would You help me to spend more time with You in prayer, to be more intentional and planned and organized about it, and to learn how to use Bible promises to ask for help for me, my family, my church family, and anyone else You bring into contact. Lord, do not let anybody leave here without making some sort of decision with You on what they've heard today. And thank You for hearing, because we know You have. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2010. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.